It's the Hub Brekkie with Danny and Brent. Joining us in the studio via Zoom, we have Broden Kelly from Auntie Donna. Mate, welcome to the show. Great pleasure to have you here.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to be, at least audio-wise, in Darwin. Holy hell, on the Hot 100, my favourite Darwin radio station. What a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mate, it was our honour. First Netflix called us. We usually reject their calls. We say, no, guys, stop bugging us. But no, we went, if it's for Auntie Donna, we'll have you guys in. And mate, it's been great. I've actually, big fan personally of Auntie Donna. For those of you that don't know, you guys started way back as a live show group. You and Zach and Mark. But I actually got onto you guys way back on Channel 31 in Melbourne when you guys were doing Australia Day specials and that sort of stuff. It's such a big jump from there to now. You guys have done incredible.
Man, that's incredible. You're legitimately maybe one of our first ever, I don't know if you enjoyed our stuff, but one of our first ever fans, if that's the case. That's ridiculous. Yeah, we made a live show back in like 2012, which is what you're talking about. And that went, we made our first ever screen content. We put on this community access Melbourne station called Channel 31, and someone was watching it, which is what I've just discovered, which is incredible.
You actually became a bit of an institution in our share house at the time, you and the boys, because we just watched it and we were like, we think you guys have as much of an idea as what's going on as we did when we were watching that, because I think particularly the Australia Day special, you guys were rummaging around the studio, sort of going room to room. Was it planned or was it as madcap as it looked?
I was a nightmare. I kind of had to run that show and it kind of did my head in pretty badly. We did these live hosting shows where Channel 31 just said, do you want to try and host a Tonight Show? And we thought that'd be a fun idea. It was actually an absolute nightmare, but people who are deep Auntie Donna fans really enjoy them. And we ended up doing three of them and they're the most anxious I've ever felt doing anything. I much prefer heavily scripted, well put together shows with a budget.
Well, that's exactly what you've done. You've moved from there, gone to live shows. I've been lucky enough actually to perform with you guys a few times, once in Hobart for a showcase then again at Party in the Paddock, I believe.
Ah, right, of course. Were you at the Party in the Paddock, were you?
Yeah, so I opened for you guys. In fact, I actually am claiming as an unofficial roadie for Hot 100 because I had to smuggle Mark's jacket back from Party in the Paddock to Melbourne.
Is that you? I remember this story.
And Naomi's girlfriend had to very sheepishly come to my house and go, it's my jacket, can I have that back? I was like, yeah, no worries.
Because I remember he was so excited, he got like a wool denim jacket, which was very in at the time. Still is. I still wear them.
Yeah.
And but definitely not in Darwin.
Not in Darwin.
Not even in the wet season.
No, you're doing great.
Anyway,
you're doing great.
But no, I'm not seeing him wear that again, to be honest, after he was so upset that he lost it. But he's never worn it again. I've never seen him wear it.
Well, good to see that there's the respect there. Mate, how did you guys...
What I'm hearing about you is that you have lived everywhere all over the world. Every part of our life you've somehow been involved in. Is that fair to say?
I grew up in Tassie, moved to Melbourne. Now I'm up here, lived in Port Augusta for a bit. I have...
You're trending north, so soon you'll be in Thailand. Soon then you'll move even further north until eventually... You'll become Santa. You're just gradually going more and more north.
I'm working on it. I'm just growing the mustache down into a beard eventually.
You've got plenty of time.
Full Tim Allen it by the end of 2035. Hey, mate, absolutely great to have you here, especially after the massive success of Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. How is that as an experience? Because you guys went over to the US to film it all.
Yeah, we moved over there for about 6 months before COVID and at the end of 2019 and shot it all and wrote it all and put it all together. It was really lots of fun. They gave us all cars. They gave me a big Jeep and I just drove around Hollywood making the stuff we've done for YouTube, the same stuff we made for Channel 31 in Australia. So we got through for a moment with, you know, to the grand scale and got to make some real crazy Australian sense of humor, kind of seen by everyone. We made a real point of trying to make it the most Australian thing that we possibly could, and we tried to alienate as many people as possible in the process.
I was going to bring that up. You've got a lot of Australianisms throughout the whole show, like a lot of like Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune references, a lot of Australian comedians that maybe not necessarily would be known. I absolutely loved it. I love that you didn't hold back and try and cater to the American audience, even though I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ed Helms, Netflix, they would have been like, can you say Oprah or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. No, we made a point of it. We thought Australians make enough concessions as it is, so we're not going to. And also, we felt like we'd lose Australia if we did that. You know, we're Australians. We know it's funny to us, and we can only do what's funny to us. So we weren't going to change that.
Absolutely. Well, so from there, you've come back, obviously, COVID year. It would have been half your voice because you're a group of six secretly behind the scenes, maybe larger now. But I guess the core Auntie Donna is six people, yeah?
Yeah. We're three performers and then also a music composer, the film director, and also the director of our live shows and a writer with us. So, yeah, we're a little team. We all kind of have been together for a while now working together.
With that in mind, when you came to this sort of situation, you know, with COVID, you guys, particularly being based in Melbourne, you sort of been locked in your house a lot. Very sorry about that, comparative to Darwin. We've been very lucky.
you've done very well.
It's very hard to practice as a live troupe separated completely.
Yeah. We're actually, we're starting to test new material because we've just gotten out of lockdown down here. So we're doing a test show tomorrow night in Melbourne to develop this new live show. It's kind of scary, actually. We've sold a record amount of tickets to this show that we're about to tour, like so much more than we've ever sold before. And the show really hasn't been written yet. Very, very hard to think of jokes. which we're coming up with good stuff, which I'm very excited about. However, we haven't been able to write it because we've been stuck at home. So now we're very feverishly writing new material.
I was going to ask, what is the Magical Dead Cat Tour based upon? But now I'm learning you've done the standard comedian trick when there's a festival coming up and you've gone, this is the name of the show, I'll write the rest later.
Yeah, and I've had to go and find a stuffed cat. Like, we don't even know what this, like, it's been a whole thing. But I feel like it will work. We just need to write it. And Darwin will eventually see the product when we come up there.
Well, it's December 9, you guys are going to be here at the Darwin Entertainment Centre. Going to be a blast to have you guys up here. It will be the wet season then, so don't bring any warm beauty. Clothes, is all I can suggest. although, are you guys still...
I think we last Darwin show, I think we did middle of June or July, this time maybe roughly, and it was really hot. But what I'm expecting is even more so.
It's just as hot, but way more sweaty.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm not going to leave the theatre. I'll die.
Well, you guys have been... So you've been up here before. What are your favourite parts about the territory?
Beautiful Darwin. I love... You know what? Why go to England when you can just walk around Darwin? That's my experience. British people everywhere. I couldn't believe how many British people just walking through Coles. I was like, am I in Brighton? Is that true? Is that a true thing? Or is that just my experience?
No, it largely is. And I mean, you would have been based, I guess, largely around the Darwin Entertainment Centre. But we actually missed out on it. For 12 months, we've sort of missed out on having the backpackers here because of COVID. They've all just sort of poured back in now. So if you come back, don't worry. Really? You'll still hear the melting pot of accents going on, predominantly English.
When I got off the plane, I wasn't expecting everyone to be talking about Tottenham Hotspur versus Man City and Harry Kane shooting. Like, that was a surprise for me. But I think also we went for a little walk on the day we were there, and it was like it was almost like a joke. Like, there was a man walking down the street with a snake. There was a crocodile. Like, legitimately, it was everything you'd expect from Darwin.
Darwin is a very unique, magical place. The first day I got here, I saw a guy that literally looked like he'd been hunting pigs walking next to a drag queen as they came down the main street eating kebabs. And I went, what is this fantastic place? What's going on here?
It's different.
Yeah.
Zach in our group was desperate to come back up to Darwin. He loves Darwin so much. Like, he was like, we have to go to Darwin. So I'm excited to see Zach in his natural habitat. I think he wants to become a Darwinite.
We'd have him. We'll adopt him in here. So tell me a bit about this in the history of Auntie Donna, because you guys didn't intend to at all go to a YouTube-based thing. You wanted to just do live shows, comedy festivals, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's true. Like, my whole thing growing up was I always looked to a group called Leno and Woodley.
Oh, of course.
I think everyone knows they're an Australian institution. And I thought when the idea crossed my mind that I could try and make a career out of doing comedy, I was like, let's just try and do what they did, which is you make a live show, you know, you get good at making comedy on stage, you take it overseas, you go to Edinburgh, you build your audience there, and then maybe one day someone at the ABC will give you a TV show. And then off that, you can tour for the rest of your life. That was kind of my mindset of how it goes. You just keep. But then early in the process, this thing, someone suggested to us that we make some content to show to TV producers. And we're like, okay, well, let's do that. You know, may as well. And then as an afterthought, we put it up on this new website called YouTube to see, just for the, you know, so we could show people. And then one day we woke up and one of the videos had, you know, done a couple of hundred thousand views. And we were like, that's ridiculous. And so from there, it became this whole thing of like the new generation of comedy, where it's all about finding a platform where you can build your audience, and then you can, you know, do that in line with live touring. But like, you know, it's a whole other generation now where people are becoming TikTok stars, and we're like two generations behind that. But it's still the same thing where it's almost like you need to make online content, and then you can peer that. That's people's into you, and then you can win them for life by being a live performer or being, you know, being around in their lives.
Well, I'm going to take some notes on that because I'm about six generations behind doing live radio. So that's
yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a thing called podcasting now, actually.
What's that? Well, actually, speaking of, you do have the Auntie Donna podcast, and that is one of the most loose podcasts I've ever come across. My first dip into the Auntie Donna podcast was your Christmas special, sponsored by Bataki Hams, I believe. Is there any planning of that, or do you all come into the podcast and you go, I've got something, let's just see how it goes?
Well, the way we came about our podcast is when we were making our live shows, we'd often start with a little nugget of an idea, like, isn't Hottest 100 funny? And then we'd impro off that for a while. And we'd find some ideas that we thought were really funny. But by the time you tried to take them and write them and put them in front of an audience, they kind of lost their magic. There's some ideas that just don't work when you overthink them or when you script them. Mm. There's some ideas that work perfectly, but some don't. So the podcast was the idea of going, let's take that early little nugget idea and do them weekly. And we know, and just like when we're developing new ideas, it's going to be like a 50-50 hit rate, and half of them are going to be a disaster and half of them are going to be maybe funnier than our good stuff. So that was our kind of mindset. And so, yeah, we come in with the weekly mindset that they're probably going to be bad. But I think in the grander scheme of things, it's showing people who like our stuff that, you know, it's, you know, this is us just figuring it out. It's like, it's jamming, really.
It's jazz,
it's jamming,
baby.
On an idea. Yeah, exactly right. So we'll come in and go like, oh, I had this little idea that, oh, like this week we might go, oh, let's do one about the Olympics, and then just see where it comes from there. But we develop a lot of our good ideas from there as well, but it also just keeps our minds working. But I'm actually surprised that it does as well as it does. Like, we have a really firm, strong listener base who listen every week, which does my head in. And then I like Andy Lee from Hamish and Andy the other day, he said, oh, I was listening to your episode the other day about the chase. But what the hell are you doing listening to our podcast? You make a high quality, really good podcast, the most listened to thing in the world. We're not trying to do a Hamish and Andy. Like, don't listen to this.
Well, I actually got, I was listening to the Hamish and Andy podcast, heard a reference to you guys in there when they said mention a comedy trio. And I found in there, so did Andy help you guys out with your show at some point?
They've all been very helpful, actually, all those guys. Andy, we started as just a bunch of kids stuffing around, and within our group we've kind of had to make the journey to business people in a lot of senses, yeah. Which is funny to say. But he's been really good in it, and there's not a lot of mentors in the creative world for that side of things.
Not at all.
Like, if you're in other industries, there's heaps of people you can look to if you're a lawyer or if you're whatever industry you're in. But Andy is, I think, one of the smartest dudes in Australia, particularly in the entertainment industry. And with the help from Screen Australia, kind of came in as a mentor and helped us sort of structure our business a lot better. And I was lucky enough to work with him on their TV show, Hamish and Andy's True Story. And he's one of the smartest dudes, and everything he touches is usually successful. So it's cool.
Yeah, great. Oh, mate, well, it's excellent here. I have such a great joy to see you guys succeed because having seen you all the way along the journey.
Oh, my God, you were there at the start. Yeah. I can't believe you weren't, when we were booking out library meeting rooms to rehearse, I can't believe you weren't actually in there.
Yeah, I should have been. But I will give you this last nugget to show how much we're on board. You were such an institution in our share house. We had a birthday tradition between the three of us that lived there that every time... every time it was someone's birthday, we had this one really woolen Vinnie's jumper that we'd purchased, and it was the birthday jumper. And when you put it on, everyone got a $30 bottle of wine for their birthday. And we had to go outside and reenact. We couldn't do it inside; didn't have the budget. But we had to reenact your $30 bottle of wine video each time. By the time we moved out of this share house, the jumper was solid. Like, it was just a red wine block of jumper. And it was disgusting. But it was.
I still have bad memories about shooting that sketch, but I can't imagine that woolen jumper. That'd be awful, truly awful.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. But it was something that we held as a firm tradition in our share house. And I'm really glad to actually let you guys know that that's the level of influence you had in that house.
Oh, that's beautiful. I imagine by the end of it, it would have been like a $120 jumper. Because of all the wine.
Yeah, there were several birthdays in it.
$30 every time.
There's the math. He is a businessman. You weren't lying.
Yeah, that's right. I can crunch them numbers, mate.
Well, Broden, you and the rest of the Auntie Donna crew are going to come up here December 9, Darwin Entertainment Centre, the Magical Dead Cat Tour. You can get your tickets now. We're going to be stoked to see you guys up here.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait to get up there.